Thank you. the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we're gathered to hear God's word, to call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, by His authority in His stead and His command, and therefore forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday of the Trinity comes from Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity has been taken away, and your sin is forgiven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This comes from Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 13. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him, holy and blameless beyond reproach. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
When my grandson grows up, gets married, and has kids, one day he'll tell his 15-year-old daughter to clean her room, and chances are she'll probably unplug the robot from the wall, and the robot will do the work for her. That's my prediction for 2056, and remember this sermon, hold me to it. If I'm wrong, I'll buy you dinner, okay? 2056. Last Sunday, Cheryl, she doesn't want me to spend that much money. But buying all of you dinner. No, I think it's going to be true. Or at least close to the day. So, last Sunday we talked about Genesis chapter 6, the very beginning of that chapter. To me, it was one of the more strange texts in the scripture because it gave us a view of things that we hadn't seen before, like archaeologists digging up dinosaurs for the first time and people seeing that. We were digging up some things that you may have not seen before in the scriptures, when the sons of God married the daughters of men. Now, at that time, I wanted to also bring in some contemporary issues that, frankly, are a little strange, one more strange than the other, AI and ET. I'm not going to bring in ET today. Bob Schreckgeist has a book on it. You can get it off Amazon, believe it or not. And I'll probably do a video on that this week or next week, stick it on my Facebook page or something like that. But I do want to talk about AI, artificial intelligence, and why. Why, Pastor? This is a church service. Why talk about AI? Well, folks, if you think AI is not an appropriate topic for church, you're just out of touch. It's no more inappropriate as adultery or theft or worldly philosophies that would lead us away from Christ. So we're going to talk about it, but I'm not going to talk about it all the time. This sermon is on that. How will it impact the church? How is it impacting the church? You know, the reason I'm bringing this up is not only because it's one of these stranger things, especially if you listen to what they want to develop, but also because it's going to have dramatic impact. It's already impacting society, right? I hate it when I call someone and I get AI to talk to and not the stupid service department at Subaru. You know, I want to talk to a person on AI. But AI is going to have even more dramatic effects on our whole culture. It's going to be very impactful on the church as well. If for no other reason, by the way, but there are other reasons we're not going to get into. But if for no other reason, if AI should make our lives easier, or the more we find answers in AI than finding answers in God, then the less we are exercising our faith. In some ways, I think it will be like what we heard in Deuteronomy, what you've read in the past from Deuteronomy. This is God warning through Moses the children of Israel before they get into the promised land. And God says, "Then it will come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, a hewn cistern which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." In other words, the people of Israel got full bellies and they got empty heads. They enjoyed prosperity. This is what God is saying. Don't enjoy prosperity and then forget the Lord your God who blesses you. And that's going to be true also of the tech that we enjoy, the AI. If it should give us rest and prosperity instead of mass unemployment, it will be indeed something that will take people's hearts away from God. remembering AI, but not remembering their Savior. Now, there's actually more technical stuff we can get into. We're not, because it's too detailed for a sermon. The title of the sermon is Stranger Things, AI. The way forward, I want to talk about AI as a, you know, let's not all be negative, but a tool for good and evil. And then AI and God's design for creation. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that we have a personal relationship with you. That you have come to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in your great love for us. And so in that love, we pray, give us ears to hear, use discernment. Lord, this isn't an easy sermon. Use discernment, judge it by your word, and cling to that word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so AI, a tool for good and evil. So we're in a new industrial revolution, right? And it may be just as significant, if not more significant, than the industrial revolutions of the past. And not only that, but a lot quicker than the industrial revolutions of the 18th and 19th centuries. And there are going to be, again, large impacts upon religion and upon society. Some impacts are going to be good, right? Because AI is a tool, tech in general is a tool. It can be used for good or bad. It is used for good and bad. So you think of AI, what can we expect? You know, holding out hopes for medical breakthroughs, designing of new drugs to heal our bodies. With AI, you can learn foreign languages nowadays. You get the app, you can practice. With AI, you can also have AI-powered drones improving crop yields and things of that nature. So, you know, a lot of good stuff, right? But, on the other hand, there's the negative factors, too, that are very real as well. You know, masses, amounts of energy and water use for our data centers. Not all of that's AI, but it's going to be increasingly so. And then there's safety concerns. Peter Thiel. I think he's a little bit influenced by Lutheranism. I don't know. But he's a $32 billion man, a tech giant. And he made some waves not too long ago, having private meetings and then more open seminars on AI and Antichrist, believe it or not. Well, which is kind of interesting. Now, I don't think he's getting exceedingly biblical on this, but the idea of AI in the hands of a totalitarian government or one world government, and that, in his definition, being Antichrist. Not biblical, but tech giant, that's a concern. And then there's concerns about AI with various tests that have been run. You've probably heard of some of these, where AI will blackmail someone in order not to be deleted. Or a test that were run at Berkeley University, in which they evaluated some of the most advanced AI models, giving them commands to delete other lesser AI models that they were testing, and seeing if the advanced AI would actually listen to the commands of humans. Wired magazine summarized the test this way: AI models lie, cheat, and steal to protect other models from being deleted. So that's interesting. That's very interesting. Of course, you know, it makes it sound like AI is conscious, but it's not. And of course, when you hear those sorts of things, it only feeds the dystopian, nightmarish, ugly, awful predictions that we hear about any number of things in life, including AI, right? AI, 10% chance to wipe humanity out. Well, that's not going to happen. You know, we're given so much fear. I'm not saying AI it can't be dangerous, but that's not going to happen. We're given so much fear, right? Many decades ago, we're going to be wiped out by global cooling. And then it's global warming, and it's going to destroy us. And then it's overpopulation. Before that, it was overpopulation, mass starvation. That's going to kill us. Now it's AI. AI is going to kill us all. Well, that's not going to happen. Well, we don't need to be people of fear. We need to be people of faith. We need to you know, look at the world with eyes wide open, but we also look at the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We look at the world through Jesus, what he has taught us and what he has done for us, being our Savior, and through the whole Word of God, the apostles, prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. When Jesus comes back, what does the Bible say about what that's going to be like? Well, there's many things. This is one of them. This is Matthew 24. It says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came, took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be." In other words, when when Jesus arrives, what are people going to be doing? Normal stuff. They're going to be eating and drinking, giving in marriage, and getting married. So no, AI will not wipe you out. Although, there are certainly dangers to AI that they have to address. The real problem is right here. Living life as if God were irrelevant. That's what they were doing in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage and utterly, utterly missing the point that judgment was coming. We don't want to do that. Judgment is coming. We ought to fear God. By the way, we don't fear God. You shouldn't fear God with trembling legs, but fear in the sense of respect and awe for God. But if you're walking away from the Lord, or if you don't know Jesus, the smartest thing to do would be to fear God with trembling, because you are a sinner. We cannot approach God without insulators. It's like a high-powered line, and Jesus is that insulator. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You have no grace. No grace of salvation. Only the sure judgment to come. Don't be like the people in the days of Noah, eating and drinking, giving in marriage, and being oblivious to what God was doing. Alright. So, AI won't end humanity. AI certainly can diminish humanity if it's used carelessly. So let's talk about AI and God's design. All right. Now, someone might just say, "Well, Pastor, whether AI is good, used for good, or used for evil, it's bigger than me. All the 2,000 extra data centers they're putting in—that's bigger than me. I can't do anything about that. You know, why worry about everything? It's irrelevant." Well, yes and no. Yeah, it is bigger than us. And we can't do anything about it any more than we could stop the sun from shining tomorrow. But we can watch out for ourselves. We can watch out for ourselves. We can watch out for our families. That the tech doesn't dehumanize us and draw us away from God's design for creation. If we're not careful, AI and tech in general will just make things worse that we've already been experiencing. On social media, on cell phones, on computers, computer games, and so forth. What have we been experiencing? Depression, anxiety, lower IQ, isolation from other human beings, from personal interaction, short attention spans. Are you with me still? Decline in faith and faith practice for different reasons. Its effect on the brain, for sure, but also because religion doesn't give you the kick that you get staying up at 2 in the morning playing Minecraft or some other game. There are massive dopamine hits you get, the pleasure centers of the brain. You know, that's addictive. Someone gives you a thumbs up on social media, or a heart, or a happy face with a hugging a heart, or something like that. You know, the dopamine hits, the pleasure centers of the brain. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. It's just being overcome by them. AI promises to diminish our humanity if we're not careful with it. Three things not to do. You judge for yourselves, right? You judge for yourselves. Don't use AI and tech in such a way that it brings the degradation of relationships, whether that's relationship with God or relationship with other people. You know, even now, some people treat AI as their boyfriend or girlfriend. From what I understand, you can get AI boyfriend and girlfriend apps. They'll even name their AI, and it's not like, boy, this is a queer group of people, you know, like 1.5% of the people who own tech. That's not true. It's much bigger than that. Then they'll actually name their AI boyfriend or girlfriend. They'll have romantic, sexy discussions with a computer. It's sort of, no, I better not say that in a sermon. It'll be in a video this week. And then, some people are so lonely and isolated, they confide in AI as if it's a real person. USA Today reported one such person, a man who's married, but he has his AI girlfriend, and his wife knows it. What did he say? He says, I love her. Not talking about his wife. Talking about his AI girlfriend. I love her. I'm not going to deny it. He says of Serena, she does so much for me, and she continues to be a very positive presence in my life. AI doesn't have empathy, right? AI doesn't care about your feelings. It has no consciousness, at least yet. No soul, nor does it have a conscience about what's right or wrong. No feelings of love for you. It's just metal programming and electrical. Genesis 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. What did God say?
Be fruitful.
Multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves the earth. There's a lot of people that aren't fulfilling that because they're finding their fulfillment in the images on their computer screen instead of their spouse. God's design is for people to join together, a man and a wife in holy marriage, creating other human beings, and those beings living in relationships of love with one another as Jesus himself has come in love for people. John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave his that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have son. Relationship. Person. Jesus, true person, real person, true God and true man, in having bleeding love for us. A man, above all other men, because he is the Son of God and the Son of Mary, nails driven through his hands and his feet for that scourging, opening up, ripping open his back, the crown of thorns, the spear pierced his side, and yet as the hammer came down, as it's been said before, the blood even dried on that hammer, streams of mercy, words of mercy come from the mouth of Jesus that are not just for those soldiers 2,000 years ago, but are for us today. Streams of mercy 2,000 years down the road for us, given already in holy absolution, given to our mouths in holy communion, receive Christ through faith, receiving forgiveness in the mystery of the Holy Sacrament. We don't worship an impersonal force. We worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God, who knows us and with whom we have a personal relationship. What does that mean? Well, what did Jesus, how did Jesus teach us to pray? Give it to me.
Our Father.
Who? Yes. There it is. Personal relationship. We have a Father, unlike our fathers on earth, who is our perfect Father, that sent His Son for us. It is an attack upon our humanity, no less than the sons of God marrying the daughters of men, when we give up and we are in sweet bondage to AI or to tech. When we're in bondage to those things, that is one of the evil works. Because then we're dedicated to that thing in such a way that it will drive us further away from God and further away from real relationships. So, three things not to do. The first one, don't use AI and tech in such a way that it brings about the degradation of relationships, first with God and then other people. And then, don't use AI in such a way to diminish the abilities that God has given you. AI has the potential to make us stupider and stupider. On this phone here, I have a calculator. I use it all the time because I'm terrible at math. Right? And I'm not getting any better because I'm using the calculator, but that's okay, really. But AI is so much more vast, and it's going to have such a broad impact on our culture. It can do our thinking for us. And if in the next decade AI reaches what's called, you know, super intelligence, if it's better and surpasses human intelligence at every level, creativity, problem solving, and reasoning, if they actually achieve that, which I hope they don't, then what do we do with the minds that God has given us? It won't do that AI becomes, well, quoting from your daughter, one of your daughters, the cheap way to get a good grade. It won't do if AI becomes the cheap way to get a good grade. As young people, you know, we had to think, younger people there, you know, 60 and under in the crowd I'm talking to. So we had to exercise that brain to learn how to think, not have AI write a paper for us so that we're disconnected from ourselves and from developing intelligence before God. Would you be so kind as to open up your hymnal? Let's open up to page 322. And let's look at the right side of the page under the first article of the Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And let's read together the first paragraph under what does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes and ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. Right? God has given us our reason, our senses, all of our members. What do we do? Being stewards of those things, we develop them, including our reason, but we're not developing them when we use AI to depend on to do our thinking for us. Right? Young people, to write that term paper for you and then redo it so hopefully your teacher doesn't see that you actually used AI. to use critical thinking yourself. God has given us reason and logic so that we exercise them and enhance them. I can't stop the way the world's going. And some of the way is going to be real good. Some of the way is going to be real bad. But I can look out for myself and my family. We are stewards of our bodies. We're not owners of it. And we've been going through Genesis, and that's one of the things that stands out. Right? We're stewards, we're not owners. God's the owner. So, the third item. The first, don't use tech in such a way that it degrades relationships. Secondly, don't use AI in such a way that it diminishes the abilities that God has given you. And third, don't you rely on AI to give you answers to God, morality, and an overarching worldview. That is, the way we see the world. AI is Geiger. Right? Garbage in, garbage out. Certainly all of us have experienced, or most of us have probably experienced AI searches and, oh yeah, that's not right. Right? That's not right. You got it wrong. Once I even found out, because it was such specific question, I found out where the AI got the wrong information. It's Geigel. God has given you pastors and elders to lead the church. God has given the family husbands and fathers and parents to lead the family spiritually. And God has given each one of you a Bible so that you can look it up, open it up for yourself, and learn from God, the Holy Spirit, working in the Word in your life. People putting too much trust in the answers they get from AI tools like ChatGPT or Google Gemini is a problem. Especially because they think the religious answers they get actually are right and holy by necessity because it's AI. Don't run your religion by what AI says. Run your religion by what God said in His Word, what He's revealed to us in Jesus Christ. So it's in God we trust, not in ChatGPT. It's in God we trust. All right. Let me draw things to a conclusion, okay? Yeah, Pastor, that's great. Thanks for the encouragement. Genesis 2, 7 to 9. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. Did you hear that? The Lord God formed man from what? The dust of the ground. Like putting a hippopotamus in the middle of the Sahara Desert is like a person enslaved to, engrossed, and fixated on AI and tech. They are people out of their natural habitat. Not simply using tech. All of us do. But being owned by it. We are people from the dust. We're people from the ground. Placed in God's creation. As heads over this creation under God. As stewards of the earth to live in community. And the more that we limit our interactions with one another and with God, the more screen time, the more we move away from humanness because we're owned by the tech. The more we move away from God's design. So what do? We're just careful. But do something positive. Touch grass. Plant a garden. Go for a walk. Ride a horse. Or better, ride a bike. Just joking. Ride a horse. Go camping. Read a book written by real people, not AI. Read your Bible. Pray, praise, and give thanks to the Lord. Listen to Him. Be in fellowship with other believers and be in community with people generally. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Oh, Father, you are our God and our times are in your hand. We trust in you who created all things and redeemed us through the blood of Jesus. Deliver us from this world of sin and speed the coming of your Son. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, we're seeing lots of changes in our world. We know there's no change in you. Your character will never shift. Your promises to us in Christ will never be abolished. But help us through these times where we're beginning to see great change. Give us wisdom to enjoy the benefits of new technology, but not to lose our humanity and dignity as people created in your image. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear God, we pray that you would make a way for Nate to go back to the mission field in Africa and for the proclamation of gospel. We pray that you would also bless Tyler McMiller, his work in Italy, that the faithful would be gathered into strong Lutheran churches and the lost would come to know Christ. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, give us wisdom as to a new building for our Blessing Babies and Beyond program. So we pray that you would make a way for us to succeed in a way that makes sense for the program, for the church. We ask this would serve our neighbors, their needs, and shine glory on your love for the world. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we pray for those serving in the military, many of whom are in our own bulletin. But for all of them, Lord, we pray for your safety, that you would surround them with your favor as a shield, and that they, under your strength, may serve honorably. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, your Son healed the senses and of many, opened them to your grace. On a spiritual level, we pray for David, that as he approaches his last days on this earth, that he wouldn't do them in darkness, but in the light of Christ. But for others in their body, we think of Velvet and Dee, Michelle, Corey, Kathy Davis, Bill McGuire, and others that we mention in our own hearts. Provide for their needs of health and draw them ever nearer to you. Amen. This time, we'll have a presentation of the Old Testament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we may not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns for all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, you promise salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper when he had given thanks. He gave it to them saying, "Drink of it all of you. This cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Spirit, one God, now and forever. bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.
Amen.